Well, we've all been hearing the increasingly worrying reports about climate change, an alarm which has been sounding even more loudly over the past few months, with global warming now considered to be the most immediate threat to life on Earth. It's relevant to our lives because it impacts on every single one of us, and every single one of us impacts on it. We're routinely reminded of the urgency with which we need to make personal changes in our daily lives to reduce carbon emissions, whether it's switching off lights, using less hot water, installing a heat pump, or planting a tree. But how we get from A to B is perhaps one of the most significant changes we each can make to combat global warming. And the electric car is currently the most talked about vehicle for that change. But there is another contender. One study found that the overall carbon footprint of e-bikes is nearly identical to traditional bikes. It stated that a cyclist produces 21 grams of CO2 per kilometre travelled, whereas an e-bike user produced just one more gram, about 22 grams of CO2 per kilometre. This is compared with 101 grams by bus and 271 grams by passenger car. But are e-bikes selling in Ireland? What about issues such as how far they can travel on a single charge? Range anxiety, as it's known. Which models are the most popular? And what do you get exactly in an e-bike that's on sale for 10,000 euro? That's right, 10,000 euro. Damien O'Tuama is National Cycling Coordinator for Cyclist.ie, the Irish Cycling Advocacy Network. Green Air is an electric bike specialist shop in Dublin city centre. We sent Damien along with our reporter John Riley into Green Air to find out what's on offer and what it might cost.
Okay, Chris, nice to be in your bike shop. Can you tell us a little bit about it? How long has it been going, and what types of bikes do you sell?
Yeah, absolutely. So Green Air has been going since 2006, 2007. It initially started off actually selling electric cars, funnily enough, and then we transitioned to electric bikes because I think it just made it was the next logical step, really. I mean, in a city that can't really afford to have any more congestion, any more cars, e-bikes were the smarter solution.
Very good. And is this following a trend at a European level in terms of the growth of e-bikes?
Absolutely. So Ireland does tend to lag behind a little bit in these things in comparison with the rest of mainland Europe, and even the UK is kind of a little bit further on than ourselves. Realistically, I mean, I think one in every four bikes in Germany last year were e-bikes that were sold, and I think they've sold 1 million last year as well. So it's definitely the fastest growing sector of the bike industry. Mm-hmm. Ireland is kind of getting there, but we're a few years off that level of kind of explosion in the market, I think.
So I understand there were 1 million e-bikes sold in Germany in 2018, but in the same year there were only 30,000 e-cars. So it really goes to show how much of an advantage that e-bikes provide to the commuting public.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the electric cars are definitely better than just going for, you know, a standard petrol or diesel car from an environmental point of view. But realistically, beyond that, you have all the same issues that you have when you're commuting by car. So you're still sitting in traffic, you're taking up more space, it's, you know, more expensive to park it and all the rest of it. So I think the e-bike gets around a lot of that by... you know, it's cheaper to buy, it's cheaper to run, there's no parking costs, you don't have to wait in the lines of traffic, so you're generally quicker, and then it's more active as well. So even on an individual level, it's healthier, I think.
Can you give us an overview of the types of bikes that customers are buying? What's there, the low end, the middle end, the high end?
Absolutely, yeah. So I suppose starting at the lower end of things, the price point is roughly around 1,500. So for something like that, you'd be looking at typically like a folding electric bike with a slightly smaller range, so kind of 40 to 50 kilometres. So they'd be very popular with people who'd say do a part of their commute by train or another mode of public transport and then use that during the day. From then on, you're looking at kind of the majority of sales fall somewhere between maybe 2,000-3,000 euro. That's where people tend to hover at. For that, you're getting a sort of a trekking bike, so kind of similar to a standard hybrid commuting bike, has the lights, the mudguards, the, you know, all the bits and bobs, except it comes without the hard work. So you're looking at sort of 60 to 90 kilometres of range, depending on what model you go with. They kind of just, it feels like you're being pushed up the hills and away from the lights, so it tends to mean you don't have to arrive into work, you know, sweating and all the rest of it. You get there a bit quicker. It's good for leisure as well, given the range.
And did I see a few e-cargo bikes out in the shop out there?
Absolutely, yeah. So the cargo bikes is an interesting one. I think they make a lot of sense for not only kind of families, which is what you typically think of, but businesses as well. So particularly the whole kind of, you know, last mile delivery sort of thing with the amount of e-commerce that's going on and packages that are delivered. I think the cargo bikes make a lot of sense as essentially the bike's answer to a van. Essentially, you can store a lot of stuff from a business's point of view, and then as well, if you're a family, you can fit 3-4 kids in on a weekly shop as well, happily enough.
E-bikes as a family vehicle, can you elaborate on the types of families coming in? Is it with one child or two children, or how does that all work?
Pretty much every sort of size of family can use an e-bike for car replacement, or a lot of people are doing it as second car replacement as well. For one kid, generally you wouldn't need more than just a standard electric bike. You wouldn't need to go for a cargo bike. You can get kid seats that will fit onto the back and let you transport a young child around. And you can also load up, you know, a decent weekly shop onto the back of the bike as well. For larger families, then you'd be looking more at cargo models. So you've seen the kind of typical ones that'll have the big sort of bucket in the front, and you can fit sort of 3-4 kids in along with a decent load of cargo as well. You'd have to have a fairly big family before you'd be struggling to find a cargo bike that could suit your needs.
Chris, can you tell us a little bit about the range of the different versions? You know, do you need to worry about recharging them? Is it on a daily basis or on a weekly basis? Or can you give us some insights there?
Yeah, so most of our customers would generally end up charging their e-bike maybe once a week. So for the vast majority of models, you're looking at in and around 60 to 90 kilometres of range. That's without being overly careful about the charge. So unless you have a particularly long commute, you should be fine.
Okay. How long does it take to charge, typically?
So charging times, again, they vary with what battery you have and what charger you have. Anywhere between maybe 3.5 and kind of 5 hours from 0 to 100%.
What's your favourite technological aspect of the bikes that you deal with? What gadget or gizmo excited you the most when you first saw it?
There's always some more innovations. Generally, it's fairly standard. It's lower prices, it's bigger batteries and stronger motors, so that's always coming along. You're starting to see a few different ones. So some of the higher-end e-bikes will come with built-in GPS trackers, and you get push notifications to your phone if someone moves it while you've set it to be in kind of a safe mode. ABS is something that's starting to feature and kind of trickle down from the higher-end e-bikes, so... just again, it's a nice safety feature to have, similar to what you get on a motorbike or a moped. So particularly, I think with cargo bikes, that makes a lot of sense, given, I suppose, the additional weight you'd have on those. And as well, even in just terms of the accessories you can get with the bikes, you can get locks that will have, say, a 100 decibel alarm system built into them. So if someone tries to get through the lock, it's going to go off and keep going until they leave it alone. So there's no end, really, of kind of cool gizmos that they've put onto them.
Maybe we can just go back to the speed of the bikes. Are there maximum speeds or maximum power outputs associated with the different models? If you could explain that a little bit.
So generally, electric bikes are limited to 25 kilometres an hour of assistance. So anything that's limited to that is essentially the same as owning a push bike. There's no, you know, requirements to tax or insured or wear a helmet or anything like that. Some models you will be able to order that will be quicker than that, so ones that go up to 45 kilometres an hour. So they're quite common in mainland Europe and Germany and all the rest of it. That's something that you would be meant to go to get taxed and insured, similar to, say, getting an AM class moped or something like that, essentially.
They're
a small engine moped.
They're the speed pedelecs.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. From a cycling advocate's perspective, we're very... you know, very supportive of the growth in e-bikes, and it's expanding the types of people who can use them. Older people, maybe people who've had leg injuries, people who are carrying large weights, people who live in hilly areas, maybe, you know, Cork or Kinsale or Drogheda or Enniskerry or other hilly towns. So when you get people coming in, what are their motivations for buying the e-bikes, I suppose?
So it varies, I suppose, from person to person. As you mentioned, a big part of it is, say, people who are getting older or people who've had, you know, injuries or operations that mean that the strain of like climbing a hill on a standard bike isn't particularly pleasant, so they tend to opt for an electric bike. You're seeing a lot of people as well who would typically commute either via car or by some means of public transport that have just kind of figured out that it's generally a lot quicker on a bike, so you don't have to wait in the lanes of traffic, and it's a bit more active and a bit more a bit more pleasant and healthy as well to head in when you're moving and you're out in the fresh air, as opposed to standing like a sardine on the Lewis or sitting sitting in your car for an hour just to get into town. So that'll be another big part of it as well, is people who aren't, you know, they're not getting older or they don't have any health issues. They've just figured out that this is a much quicker and cheaper alternative to either public transport or their own cars.
So we currently have the fabulous Bike to Work scheme that was introduced in 2009 to incentivise people buying decent bicycles. So that can obviously be used as well to part fund the purchase of the e-bikes. Is that used in your business?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge part of it. As the Cycle Work scheme is so popular that a very large chunk of our sales would be people putting the £1,000 on the Cycle Work scheme, and then whatever the excess is has to come out of your own pocket due to that price cap on it. So it's a great initiative. It's a great scheme. We would like to see it expanded. So the UK recently have announced that they're removing that £1,000 cap on it, which is going to enable a lot more people to access electric bikes and use those instead of their cars. So we'd like to see something like that, or even in other countries. I know Belgium are proposing maybe a reduction in the VAT rate on bicycles. So whatever form it would come, I think the Cycle to Work scheme is fantastic, but it is starting to show its age a little bit in terms of the structure. So some e-bike specific scheme or legislation would be fantastic, yeah.
Really, to grow e-bikes and grow cycling, we should look at what cities like Copenhagen have done, or even London, where they have taken out general lanes of traffic and replaced it with high quality, safe cycling routes alongside the Thames. It's happening in Brussels, it's happening in Utrecht. So all across Europe, there's a shift in mobility from car-based solutions to much more efficient solutions around bikes, e-bikes, integration with buses, trams, trains, etc. So there is this mobility shift happening, and I think e-bikes are very much at the heart of that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think there's plenty of cities you can look to as prime examples. You know, even looking towards the likes of Amsterdam, it used to be a similar situation to Dublin, where it was very, very car-based and sort of car-focused. That changed over the course of a couple of decades to what it is now, which is very much the focus on bikes and e-bikes. And really the reason that happened was there was the political will there, and there was the want for it, and they built the infrastructure. And it's the classic case of if you build it, they'll come. So they have a much healthier, happier, less congested city because of it. So that's what we'd be looking to as a sort of a good model for what Dublin could be.
So here we are on the shop floor. What do we have here, Chris?
We've got a couple of our sort of better selling e-bikes here. So they're really good in terms of price point and in terms of the spec that you get on them as well. So this one here on the left, the kind of more traditional looking e-bike with the battery sitting on it, is a High Bike Trekking 1.0. So it's coming in at 2,200, and it's a really popular option because it kind of comes with everything you need. It has the mudguards, the lights, the kickstand. So really, other than the lock, there's not much else you need. And generally you'd be looking at about 60 kilometres before you'd have to charge it. Again, if you're being careful, you can extend that out quite a bit more, but 60 without being overly careful. And it's plenty of carrying capacity as well, so you could easily load up, you know, yourself, a kid, some shopping on, and kind of use it as not only a commuter but a bit of a second car replacement as well.
It looks like an everyday bike, really.
Pretty much, yeah. So High Bike is a German brand, and it kind of does show through a little bit in terms of just it just oozes practicality. It kind of, and that's the main concern there, is just making a really functional, useful bike to have.
What else would you like to show us? What's the next step in the e-bike customers' option range?
So there's a few you could go for. I might draw your attention to one of these, which is a slightly newer style of electric bike. This one is from Orbea. So this is a much more lightweight system. So that's one concern that some people have, is the weight of electric bikes. And this particular one is a Gain F40, and it weighs about 14 kilograms. So it's not too far off a conventional bike weight. And it looks very much like just a standard bike as well, really, unless you knew what you were looking for. If that went past you, you wouldn't really guess that it has any kind of assistance in it. So a lot of people are kind of moving towards those as something they can use maybe on the weekends as well as a regular push bike, and then just throw the assistance on as and when they need it for the hills, the wind, and that kind of thing.
Can you describe what's in front of us, please, Chris?
Yes, so in front of us then we have a selection of some of our electric cargo bikes. So these two right in front of us, the black and the white one, are from a company called Urban Arrow. So those are always really popular sellers there. They're good in terms of price. So they'd be starting at about 4,500 thereabouts and kind of working your way up, depending on what kind of spec you wanted to go for, if you wanted to get some more specialist parts for it, essentially.
And you'd put maybe two or three children in these ones here?
Yeah, so out of the box then, there's one bench in it, so you can fit two kids. You can see that there with the seat belts and all the rest. And they have an optional second bench that you can put at the front, so the three or four kids can face each other and have a chat. And then you've plenty of room still in the middle for, you know, your bags of shopping or whatever else is you need to transport.
Chris, to give us a sense of the power, would you get up, for example, St. Patrick's Hill in Cork on one of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So any hill, really, they can handle. It's on these particular ones, you have a Bosch Performance CX motor, which is Bosch's highest-end motor. So you tend to find it in a lot of mountain bikes. So it's really, really rugged, and it's got a 75 newton meter torque rating. So I know that doesn't mean a huge amount to a lot of people, but it's a fantastic torque output. It's plenty of pull. You could almost climb a wall on the thing. You know, it's designed with off-road use in mind. So climbing really short, steep, aggressive climbs or more longer, gradual ones, really, it's no bother to it.
Chris, before we go, can you show us the creme de la creme of e-bikes in your shop, please? The top of the range, we'd love to see them.
In terms of the higher-end e-bikes, then, we'd be looking primarily at two companies. So there's Riesenmüller and then Stromer. So that's a German and a Swiss brand, respectively. So this is a Riesenmüller homage model. So Riesenmüller is an interesting company. They're all bespoke bikes, so they're all made to order. So essentially, you choose what base model you want, and then you can kind of customize it to your needs, and they build it up for you. So this particular one is an interesting one. It has an ABS system on it, so you can't actually lock up your wheels. So you've plenty of traction and braking modulation, which is pretty interesting. Rather than a chain, it has a carbon belt drive, so similar to like a timing belt in a car. So it's much lower maintenance. You don't need to lubricate it. So it kind of eliminates that thing if you get into work and you've got a lot of oil up the side of your trouser leg. Other than that, then you've gotten a 500 watt hour battery, so you're looking at maybe 80 kilometers of range without being overly careful. It has a supernova light set, so really, really bright headlights and a brake light as well, which is something that we're seeing a lot more come in. So it's again very, very safety focused and practical. And a few other neat features as well. So it's got a horn, so you can kind of alert other traffic to your presence. Kind of oversized tires for a bit more comfort, and then it's a dual suspension bike as well. So you have a suspension fork in the front, and then a shock hidden away just over where the motor is sitting on the rear as well. So it feels very, very plush and cushiony to ride. If you were to go with build that we have in front of us, you'd be looking about 6,500 thereabouts. So it's a bit higher end. Most people don't tend to go that high, but there is a lot of kind of newer and neater features that you're getting on that.
Okay, we have a particularly fancy looking bike behind us, and I believe it's the most expensive one in the shop. So maybe you can tell us why it's so amazing.
Yeah, so this is a Stromer ST5, and the retail price on that is €9,750, which is a little bit extravagant, some would argue, for a bike. So it's a very premium brand. It's a much larger capacity battery than any of the other ones, so it's a kilowatt-hour battery. So Stromer will quote up to 180 kilometres of range before you need to charge it. It's got a few other cool features as well. So it has regenerative braking. So as you freewheel or as you brake, you're going to put a little bit more power back into your battery. Again, it's got a similar supernova light set. So you've got a brake light, and you also have a high and low beam that you can dip depending. It has a few cool safety features. So you can lock it via PIN code. So if anyone moves it, you get a push notification to your phone. It has a built-in GPS tracker, which is particularly useful if it does go missing. Other than that, then, it's pretty cool. There's an onboard computer on it that lets you tweak exactly how much torque you have to put into the pedals before it starts to assist you. And as well, you can tweak the progression as well. So whether you want it to just give you all of the power at once, or whether you want it to kind of a bit more gradually build up to speed. So there's no end of sort of techie cool stuff on this bike, which is kind of the reason for the price point.
The higher end bikes, who exactly is buying them? Is it a replacement for second cars, or what are the motivations for people buying the particularly expensive ones?
Generally, it's someone who wants to you know, replace their car and shave a lot of time off their commute. So these ones are ones that will go up to 45 kilometres an hour. And we get a lot of guys who, in particular, maybe are from a motorbiking background who want something that's a little bit different, a little bit more fun, and then someone who just really wants the best of the best, because realistically you'll be hard pressed to find a higher end e-bike on the market at the moment.
So Chris, thanks for showing us around from a cycling advocate's perspective. We're delighted to see the growth in e-bikes and e-cargo bikes and e-trikes, and it's definitely opening up cycling for a greater range of people, and thank you very much indeed.
No, it's all glad to have you guys. So yeah, that's our mission. It's smart mobility. It's getting cars off the street, decongesting them, and really every electric bike out there is one less car and one less person crowding on the bus. So that's what we like to see.
Chris Latchford, manager at Green Air in Dublin City Centre, speaking with Damien O'Tooma, National Cycling Coordinator for Cyclist.ie, the Irish Cycling Advocacy Network.